Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For unto you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" When Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. O Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, O Lord, for the privilege of coming to worship you, O Christ, Savior and Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you, O Lord, for the privilege of worshiping our God and ruler and creator. And now, Father, as we approach your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would so superintend what is said that it may be for your glory and for your honor. Take control, Father, of these words that go forth this morning and use them as you would please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're told in Luke chapter 2 that while Joseph and Mary were in their ancestral home, their ancestral hometown, to be registered on the order of Caesar Augustus, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son in a stable because they could find no accommodation in the nearby inns. That night, as an angel appeared to a group of shepherds tending their flock in a field nearby, the angel announced the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, among those with whom he is pleased. Upon hearing this glorious news, the shepherds rushed to nearby Bethlehem to see for themselves the thing that had been told them by the angels. Even though Luke does not say this, the implication is that the attitude of the shepherds was one of worship when they saw the Savior lying in the manger. For we are told that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. It must have been about this time when another announcement was made to another group of men. And we have just read about that in Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." The angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds out in the field. And God announced the birth of a king to the wise men who were gazing in the skies. It is so wonderful that God speaks to us, comes down and speaks to us in the ways that we can understand. He comes and speaks to us where we are, in our language. These wise men were the complete opposite of the shepherds who were visited by the angel. Now, who are these wise men? We know pretty much who the shepherds were. They tended sheep. The Greek word for wise men is magos, or magi. It is a name for priest and wise men among the Medes, Persians, and the Babylonians. They were educated and powerful men who were trained to counsel their kings, much like Daniel and his friends were trained to counsel the kings of Babylon during the exile. Now, there were some magi that were not reputable. And we read about some of those in Daniel also, who attempted to interpret dreams and gave interpretation that were not in accordance to God's will. We saw some of them in Egypt, who counseled Pharaoh. But God had his own personal magi, even in Egypt, in the person of Joseph. But the magi described in Matthew seem to be learned, noble, and wealthy men. They had to be, for how else would they be able to assemble a pretty large entourage to travel all the way from Babylon or Persia across the deserts to the humble town of Bethlehem? They probably had some scriptures, probably the words of prophets such as Daniel, to guide them. If they knew of Daniel, they would have known that he had predicted the birth of a royal deliverer in Israel. And that would certainly have excited them when they saw the star. They saw a mysterious star pointing toward Jerusalem, and willingly and gladly followed it there. Notice that Matthew does not tell us how many wise men there were. So don't believe everything you read on postcards. They tell us that there were three wise men traveling all this distance all by themselves. Not only that, but there were kings who left their realms and traveled all this distance all by themselves. No, it was more than likely that there were several of these wise men and that they were accompanied by attendants to take care of their needs as they traveled, to set up their tents when they stopped to rest. And it's more than likely that they were also accompanied by soldiers for their protection as they traveled across treacherous terrains. It must have been quite a large group, large enough to have attracted Herod's attention when they entered Jerusalem and were inquiring about the newborn king. The newborn king, the king of the Jews. Now, many attempts have been made to explain the phenomenon of the stars that they had seen and that they had followed as it went across the skies, directing them to Bethlehem. Some have suggested that it must have been a conjunction of planets, or the explosion of a supernova, or the appearance of a comet. What is clear, however, is that it was an unnatural phenomenon that these men had never seen before. One of my favorite commentators, James Boyce, suggested that this would most likely be the appearance of the Shekinah glory that had accompanied the people of Israel in their desert wanderings, signifying God's presence with them. For only something like the Shekinah cloud could have led the wise men over the desert to Jerusalem when it appeared after their meeting with the, and reappeared after their meeting with the king to guide them to Jerusalem and stopped over the place where the young child was. Could not have been a shooting star. Could not have been a comet because it would just keep going. What is certain is that it was a star leading the Magi to the true light that came into the world. It was leading to Jesus Christ, the light of light, the light of life that shines in the darkness that cannot overcome him. Because he is the light that came down from heaven. He is the light that came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to them who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of Christ, of God. These Gentile wise men were seeking to find a child that was born the King of the Jews. But they may not have fully realized that they were really seeking to find the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. The light of light, very God of very God, the one whom the angels announced as a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. Their purpose for seeking him was so that they could worship him and lay their gifts before him. How about you today, my friends? Have you come this morning to worship him who is the light of light, the King of Kings? Have you come to worship the one who is in whom you believe, you have believed and have received the assurance that you are his child? If that is why you are here this morning, then you understand the true meaning of Christmas. For a Christmas without Christ is just another empty and meaningless pagan celebration. If you have come this morning because Christ is your King, and he is the one that you worship and celebrate during the season, then indeed you understand the true meaning of Christmas. How sad it is that at this time of year, people all over the world celebrate Christmas and completely ignore the person for whom the season is named. So if you're here this morning, dear friends, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the one who came down from heaven to take on human flesh and be born as a child so that he may eventually sacrifice his life to ransom you from the bondage of sin, then our prayer is that before you leave here today, that you will seek him much like the Magi did, and that you will find him much like they did, and that you will worship him much like they did. Notice that in this story there are pretty much four characters, and we see how we see their different reaction to the news of the newborn king. Of course, there's a Magi, and then there is Herod, and then there are the people. And then we have the religious leaders. So let us look at Herod's reaction to this news. When Herod heard that the wise men were looking for the newborn king of the Jews, the scripture tells us that he was troubled. He knew that no children had been born in his household. So this news of the birth of a newborn king in Israel represented a threat to his life. Not only to his life, but to his realm. By this time, Herod, who was appointed by the Romans to be king over Israel, had served for about 30 years. If you know the history of Herod, you'll know that he really was not a Jew. He was an Edomite. And because of his service to Rome, because he was such a great warrior and a great leader, they had appointed him king over Israel. He was not a very popular king, but he was a great king. He was now old. He had served for about 30 years. He was now old and would not long live after the birth of Jesus. He would soon die. History records that he was an immensely gifted man, skilled in hand-to-hand combat, in rhetoric, and in politics. He was also an excellent builder. For the temple during Jesus' day was built by Herod the Great. According to Josephus, the most noble of all Herod's achievements was the building of the temple in Jerusalem, somewhere that started somewhere between 20 and 19 BC. But he had become cruel and paranoid in his later years and was determined to retain his power. He did not hesitate to execute those he considered to be a threat to his throne or his life, and that would include his wife and his children. He did not hesitate to execute them when he felt that they were plotting against him. Hence, it was no surprise that he ordered the murder of all the young males of Bethlehem in hope of killing the child Jesus. Notice also the reaction of the people. I'm not sure this water is fresh. I'm going to drink it. If I keel over, you'll understand. Notice also the reaction of the people. Matthew tells us in verse 3 that when Herod heard the news of the wise men, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Like all tyrants over the world, their penchant for cruelty, intimidation, and barbarity tends to... Oh, thank you, Eddie. Thank you. And it's cold. Like most tyrants in the world, their penchant for cruelty, intimidation, and barbarity tends to drive fear into the hearts of and the minds of the people they govern. And that was how Herod governed. He was such a cruel king in his later years that the people feared him. Hence, it is little wonder that the people would be afraid of showing any excitement at news of this newborn king, fearing to offend Herod, fearing for their lives. But it may also be the case that the people had become so secularized that the news of the possible arrival of the Christ would not have even resonated with them. This was probably a generation not unlike the one we read about in Judges chapter 2, where we are told that after Joshua and his generation had been gathered to their fathers, there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. They had become so secularized. And so they would not have been taught Moses or the prophets and would not have been living with much, if any, expectation of the arrival of the Messiah and King. They had become a people who were detached from their roots. Yet Jeremiah prophesied that the Messiah would be a king, and the Magi were seeking the one born king of the Jews. Jeremiah told us, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David." Thank you. Wow. Thanks, Chris. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is the name by which he will be called, The Lord is our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:5-6. It's nice that people see your need. Isaiah also prophesied that nations that shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. And certainly the Magi represented those nations and those kings that would come to his brightness and to his rising and to worship him. Even that pagan prophet Balaam was led to prophesy in Numbers 24:17 that a star shall come out of Jacob and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. These are the prophets that these people should have been familiar with. They should have known about Moses. They should have known about the prophets, yet they most likely had become so secularized that the news of the birth of their Messiah just had no meaning to them. There was no reason then for anyone in Israel not to pay attention, because they should have known. And it should grieve us, shouldn't it, that we also live in a society, in a culture, in a generation that is similar to that which we read about in Joshua 2, and that is indicated here in the people's reaction to the news of the newborn king. We live in a secular generation for which, sadly, the church has to bear our large responsibility. For the church has abandoned the education of our children, and as a result, the knowledge of God and his claim of kingship and demand for reverence and worship no longer resonate with this people, with this generation, our generation. Our schools and universities have become hotbeds of cultural rot and ignorance. It has become increasingly difficult to find a politician or a business leader who is not corrupt and who does not make decisions that do not comport with the rule of law. Judges no longer make rulings that conform to the Constitution that they have sworn to uphold, but rather according to their own ungodly opinion of what is right and wrong. No compass. We live in a culture where it seems that everyone does what seems right in his own eyes. Do you see this, or am I just being paranoid? Do you see this as the culture in which we live today? But the gospel continues to be preached by God's faithful servants every Sunday in the pulpits of faithful churches. The people of God continue to bear witness to the saving grace of God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. They witness to their families, to their friends, and to their neighbors. There are countless radio and television stations that proclaim the gospel day after day, 24 hours a day. Therefore, this generation, like the generation in Jesus' day, has no excuse. this generation, like the generation in the days of Judges, will be brought to account. It will be brought to account for its sin of rebellion against God. But just like the people who, with Herod, were troubled at the news of the wise men that Christ the King was born and was worthy of worship, this generation has no excuse. They did not, and we do not. For the gospel is preached. The gospel, the people of God bear witness to God's saving grace. The word of God is out there. And just because they close their ears and turn blind eyes, does that mean that they get away scot-free? There is a coming a day when they will have to give account. It behooves us then that we are not found to be at fault for not spreading the gospel, that we continue to bear witness to God's saving grace. And then notice the apathy of the religious leaders. Herod called in the chief priests and scribes to give their opinion on the report of the Magi. The scribes were conservative teachers of Scripture, bent in preserving Jewish tradition and culture. The chief priests were Sadducees, not real priests. They were not descendants from Aaron. They were really appointed by politicians. There were Sadducees who were willing to accommodate Roman power and Greek culture to retain their wealth and power. The chief priests are the ones that would later demand that Jesus be crucified for no other reason but that he represented a threat to their wealth and power. Who were the first to demand, crucify him, that led the crowd, crucify him? It was the priest. And not because Jesus had done anything wrong, but they saw him as a threat. But they knew the scripture. They were able to quickly explain to Herod that according to the prophet Micah, the Christ child, the King of the Jews, would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And having correctly answered, they properly packed their bags and went with the wise men in search of the newborn king. That's what scripture says, right? No. Actually, there was no other mention of these leaders in any of these verses. They knew the scriptures. They knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem in Judea. Yet, like the people, it didn't faze them one bit. They did not pack their bags and went to the Magi in search of their king. Instead, they just went home. They probably went home and boasted to their family that I had an audience with Herod today, and he asked me a very important question, and I was able to answer him. But that as far as that went, the apathy of the religious leaders. We read later in verses 7 and 8 that Herod attempted to deceive the Magi. After ascertaining from them the time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem in search of the king. And he told them, "When you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." But after they had found the child and were preparing for their return to their return journey, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so that they departed to their own country by another way. We read in verses 3 and 17 that Herod's real intent was to search for the child in order to destroy him. And having discovered that his attempt at deception had failed, he ordered the murder of all the innocent male in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem rather, 2 years and younger. See, the slaughter of children is nothing new to this generation. We're just perpetuating it. In fact, we're even going one step further and murdering all children, all innocent unborn children, whether male or female. We're going straight to the womb and destroying them. How different are we from Herod? Now we read in verse 10 and 11 that the Magi rejoiced exceedingly with great joy when the star they had been following for several months had finally come to rest over the house where the young child was. And going into the house, they saw the child and with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. This was the purpose for their long journey. Can you imagine their joy? It says that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Do you this morning rejoice exceedingly with great joy, remembering that Christ, your Savior, came to earth to give his life for you? Is it joyful? We sing joyful, joyful, we adore you. Is that your attitude this morning as you come to celebrate the birth of your Savior? And going into the house, they saw Mary and they worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May this be your response this morning and throughout this Christmas season, and even in the days to come. May you joyfully open your hearts to receive the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord who came to bring you the gift of salvation and everlasting life. The Magi brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but Jesus gives us himself. He offered himself a sacrifice for our sins, so that through him, through his death on the cross, and by his resurrection, we may have eternal life. Through his word, he is the prophet. He is God's prophet. Through his sacrificial death on the cross, he is our high priest. And now he reigns in heaven at the right hand of God the Father as Lord and King over all his kingdom. His kingdom which he inaugurated at his first coming. You see, if Christ is King, then he must have a kingdom. Right? And what is his kingdom? We are his kingdom. He inaugurated his kingdom at his first coming, and he's coming again to consummate it when we will be taken up with him. We are people of the kingdom. We are people of God's kingdom, and therefore we should live accordingly. The kingdom shall have no end, and it will be consummated at his second coming. Oh, come, let us worship him. Let us bow down before him. Let us bow down and adore him who is Christ the Lord. The Magi traveled many journeys, many miles rather, to find the King of the Jews. We have him in our hearts this morning. Their purpose was to seek him and find him in order to worship him. He resides with us today in our hearts. Let us also worship him. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that you would apply to our hearts. May we, your people, leave here this morning with a new sense of the joy that your saving grace brings to our hearts. May we leave here this morning with a new sense of our need to worship you. You who is our God and our King. You who are our Savior and Lord. And may anyone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and King, may that person come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.